I'd like to invite you this morning to turn to the sixth chapter of the book of Joshua. We're going to read one of the most thrilling accounts here in all the Bible of one of the great victories that God's people gained there in the Old Testament. The city of Jericho, the Battle of Jericho, with Joshua leading the people of Israel as they marched around the city, and God gave them this victory and the walls fell down. Beginning in Joshua chapter 6 and verse 1, now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel, and none went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king, and the mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go all around the city once. This you shall do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. It shall come to pass when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout. Then the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up every man straight before him." Then Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said to them, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the Ark of the Lord." And he said to the people, "Proceed and march around the city, and let him who is armed advance before the Ark of the Lord." So it was when Joshua had spoken to the people that the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the Lord advanced and blew the trumpets, and the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord followed them. The armed men went before the priests who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard came after the Ark while the priests continued blowing the trumpets. Now Joshua had commanded the people, saying, "You shall not shout or make any noise with your voice, nor shall a word proceed out of your mouth until the day I say to you, shout. Then you shall shout." So he had the Ark of the Lord circle the city, going around it once. Then they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priests took up the Ark of the Lord. Then the 7 priests bearing 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the Ark of the Lord went on continually and blew with the trumpets. And the armed men went before them, but the rear guard came after the Ark of the Lord while the priests continued blowing the trumpets. And the 2nd day they marched around the city once and returned to the camp. So they did 6 days. But it came to pass on the 7th day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and marched around the city 7 times in the same manner. On that day only they marched around the city 7 times. And the 7th time it happened, when the priests blew the trumpets, that Joshua said to the people, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the city. Now the city shall be doomed by the Lord to destruction. It and all who are in it, only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all who are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And you, by all means, abstain from the accursed things, lest you become cursed when you take of the accursed things and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of bronze and iron are consecrated to the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord." So the people shouted when the priests blew the trumpets. And it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat. Then the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. It goes on to tell about how they rescued Rahab and her family and brought them safely out. But this is one of the great victories of the Bible as far as God's people are concerned. And when we think about the book of Joshua, And it is filled with military battles and bloody conquests and fighting and wars. And we have to ask ourselves why. Why does God give us all of these accounts of these battles? And the answer is that we too are at war. In our case, it's not a physical war, it's a spiritual war that we are fighting in. And it began the day that you became a Christian. And it's going to continue until the day that you go to heaven. Because the fact of the matter is, Satan doesn't want any of us to follow Christ. He doesn't want us to be Christians. And he's going to do everything he can. We're going to be tempted and we're going to be attacked and we're going to be harassed. And we're going to have to fight in this battle. And that is one of the lessons that we all need to learn in order to live the Christian life and be victorious. That it is a battle. And we have to be prepared for that, just like the Israelites did. But in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 5, 1 John 5 and verse 4, he said, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" So it is our faith in Christ, that is going to win the battle. Eventually, for us, faith is the victory. And that was what led to the victory here of the children of Israel. But first, the children of Israel had to overcome what we would call the grasshopper complex. And that is something that many Christians, we sometimes are plagued with, that same problem. And back in the wilderness experience that we read of, the children of Israel coming across through the wilderness. And they came to the place of Kadesh Barnea, and Moses sent out 12 spies into the land. And Joshua and Caleb came back with a good report. And Caleb made these words. He said, "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it." But the men who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And we saw the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight." And it was that unbelief of the people that resulted in their spending 40 days or 40 years in the wilderness. And most of these people dying there in the wilderness because of their unbelief. They had the opportunity, and it said that it was only 11 days journey from there up into the land of Canaan. And it took them 40 years because of their unbelief. But I would suggest to you that we have sometimes a problem today with that same complex of looking out and assessing the strength of the enemy and not being willing to go on the offensive. And not being willing to carry the battle and go into the battle as God's people today. And it is a spiritual battle that we fight with spiritual weapons. We need to understand that, but nevertheless, there's a battle that we have to face. So the city of Jericho was a great time for the children of Israel, where they had to assess whether they were going to go into the land or whether they were going to be content to be on the border of the land. And when we begin the book of Joshua, it's very interesting, the wording in the very first few verses. It said that Moses, my servant, is dead. God spoke this to Joshua. "Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, you and all the people of the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses." You notice that God is saying, said to the people of Israel, he said, "I am giving you this land, but you have to go over and conquer it. You have to enter in. You have to cross the Jordan River and go in and conquer this land." But I am giving it to you. This is the land of promise that I have been promising to you from the times of Abraham, that I am going to give you this land. They were on the border. They were on the eastern side of the Jordan River. And they had to cross that river, and it was a swelling tide, and they had to then go in. And the first city was the city of Jericho. The city of Jericho was a fortified city with high walls surrounding it. So it was a great challenge to them at that time, whether they would go in or not. Now, in the book of Deuteronomy, God made an important statement to Moses when they were coming out from Egypt. And he said, "We were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders before our eyes, great and severe, against Egypt and Pharaoh and his household. And then he brought us out from there that he might bring us in to give us the land of which he swore to our fathers." Now, the important thing that he is saying there is that God brought us out so that he could bring us in. But you see, they came to this point where they are now right on the border of the land. But some of them still had this attitude of, we cannot do it. We cannot conquer. We are like grasshoppers. And they had to overcome that and have the courage in order to go up and conquer the battle. So in verses 7 and 8, God said these words to Joshua. He said, "Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." Be strong and courageous. That was one of the keys of victory. Overcoming that inferiority complex that sometimes we battle with as Christians. God has saved us. He has brought us through the waters of baptism. He has forgiven our sins. And we have this life ahead of us that we can go in. And God wants us to enter into the promised land and conquer the land and live a victorious life. But we sit on the battle. We sit on the corner. We sit on the sidelines. And too many times, we are more content to kick back in our easy chairs at that point and not go in and win the victory that God intends for us to have as Christians. To be victorious, to live an abundant life, to build up the kingdom of God here, to, as Bill said, go out and find that lost sheep that has gone astray and bring them back into the fold. There was a story that I saw about in the Korean War. And there was a company that was called the Baker Company. And they were a company that got cut off from the rest of the regiment. And they were calling on the radio and trying to communicate back with headquarters. And finally, they got a faint signal. And They heard him say, "Baker Company, Baker Company, do you read us?" And they said, "This is Baker Company." And they said, "What is your situation?" They said, "Well, the enemy is on the east of us, and the enemy is on the west of us. The enemy is on the south of us. The enemy is on the north of us." And he said, "And this time we're not going to let them get away." See, that is the attitude that we need to have as God's people. God is on our side. God is with us. He's saying, "I'm going to give you the land." All you have to do is go in and take it. You have to have the faith to win the battle. So Joshua challenged the people of Israel that they had to first cross the Jordan River, and then they had to conquer the city of Jericho, that great city that had the walls around it. So in verse 1, it said, "Now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, 'See, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor.'" Now when we read that first verse, and it says that the city of Jericho was securely shut up, there's more to that than meets the eye. Because when you go back into chapter 5, and we learn there in verse 1, chapter 5 of Joshua in verse 1, that the people of Jericho were watching the children of Israel on the other side of the Jordan River. They knew their position. And they had spies that were going out keeping an eye on what the Israelites were doing. As a matter of fact, Rahab told them that they had heard of the exploits when they left Egypt. And they had been hearing of this, and the people had a dread of the Israelites, of how God led them over the people of Egypt, even back at that time. But it says here in chapter 5 and verse 1, "So it was, when all the kings of the Amorites who were on the west side of the Jordan, and all the kings of the Canaanites who were by the sea heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of the Jordan ripped from before the children of Israel until we had crossed over, that their heart melted, and there was no spirit in them any longer because of the children of Israel." You see, they were watching the Israelites. They knew that they were coming. They knew what they had been doing. Everywhere they had gone, they had made it away from Egypt and crossed the Red Sea and all of these things. Now they were at the Jordan River. And that was a time that the people of Jericho strategically should have made their attack. They should have gone out and attacked the Israelites when they were there. That was the good time for them, but they didn't do that. And now, when they heard and they learned that God parted the waters of the Jordan River, their heart melted within them. You see, the people of Jericho could see God is on their side. That we're not dealing with ordinary men here. That we are dealing with the power of God. So the Lord is encouraging Joshua through this. "I have given Jericho into your hand, its king, and the mighty men of valor." Now, God gave them an unorthodox battle plan. And it's one of the most interesting things about this whole account. He says, "You shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go all around the city once. This you shall do 6 days. And the 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. It shall come to pass when they make a long blast, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that the people will shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city will fall down, and the people shall go up, every man straight before him." So we realize that from a human standpoint, this made no sense. This battle plan. For them to conquer the city of Jericho in this way. There's different ways to go about an attack. One is to build up where there is ladders and things you can climb up over the wall. There is a frontal attack that you can make. You can surround the city. There's different ways they could go about it. But God is just telling them to march around the city once a day. And then on the 7th day, march around 7 times. Then blow the trumpet and shout, and the walls will fall down. We're reminded of the fact, as we look at this, that God has a sense of humor. God, sometimes it seems like He does it different every time, just so that we will see His great power. I mean, whether it's Gideon, who has only 300 men to go out and defeat the Midianites, or David, who takes 5 stones and defeats the Goliath, the giant, or Naaman, who God tells him to go and dip 7 times in the Jordan River, God always has a new way of making his point. That it's not by our power, it's not by our strength, it's by his power that we win the victory. Through his faith, through our faith in him, and our obedience to him, and our willingness to do what God tells us to do and not question what he is saying to do. We're told in Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 8, he says, "My ways are not your ways, neither are your thoughts my thoughts. For as the heaven is higher than the earth, so are my thoughts higher than your ways." God's ways are different than man's ways. We don't come to the understanding of God's plans for our lives by reasoning it out in our own thinking. Matter of fact, the Bible says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and put your trust in Him." In Proverbs chapter 3 and verses 5 and 6, "Lean not upon your own understanding." We need to learn that lesson, because we're so prone to do the opposite of that. So Joshua for 6 days here leads the children of Israel. Joshua the son of Nun called the priest, and he said, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant and let the 7 priests bear the 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the Ark of the Lord." And he said to the people, "Proceed and march around the city, and let him who is armed advance before the Ark of the Lord." So it was, when Joshua had spoken to the people, that the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets before the Lord advanced and blew the trumpets, and the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord followed them. The armed men went before the priests who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard came up after the Ark while the priests continued blowing the trumpets. So God had the priests and the Ark out there in the front of this procession. The city of Jericho, as I understand, was only about 18 acres of land. And you could march around it in about 30 minutes. So it wasn't a large city. But the people came out, and they were able, with the number of the Israelites, would have been able to entirely circle the city of Jericho. But they walked around, and not one word was said. God instructed them that not to make a sound. What an eerie feeling for the people of Jericho, sitting up there on the wall, looking out and watching all this happening. What must they have been thinking at that point? And how do you get 1 million people to not say a word? You know, I don't understand how they did that. How you can keep them from talking. And yet that was part of the instructions that God gave them. Joshua had commanded the people, saying, "You shall not shout or make any noise with your voice, nor shall a word proceed out of your mouth until the day I say to you, shout. Then you shall shout." So he had the Ark of the Lord circle the city, going around it once. Then they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. All right, so God here gave them these instructions. Lost my place here somehow. Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priest took up the ark. The 7 priests bearing 7 trumpets before the Ark of the Lord went on continually and blew with the trumpets, and the armed guard went before them. But the rear guard came up after the Ark of the Lord while the priest continued blowing the trumpets. So it must have been quite a sight to see all of this happening there in those days. The second day they marched around the city and returned to the camp, and they did this 6 days, but on the 7th day, they rose early about the dawning of the day and marched about the city 7 times. Sorry about this. So the seventh time it happened, when the priests blew the trumpets, that Joshua said, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the city. The city shall be doomed by the Lord to destruction, it and all who are in it, and only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all who are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent." So when that seventh day came, the people were told not to take of the forbidden goods of the city. And when they shouted in obedience to God, they blew the trumpets, and it happened that the people shouted and the wall fell down flat. There's that great southern song, spiritual song, "Joshua Fit the Battle of Jericho." I love that song. "And the walls came tumbling down." A great victory for God's people that day. And we're reminded of the fact that we are in a battle. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So when we hear the gospel and submit our lives to Christ, surrender ourselves to Him in obedience to the gospel, and we are raised up to walk in newness of life, God gives us a battle plan. He gives us a way of life that we are to live. And like the Israelites, we have to live by faith in the power of God leading us. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. And we're told that we too, in Psalm 46, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge." So we're in a battle today, and it is a battle that has to be fought. And too often we are content to go part of the way and get onto the borderland of where God wants us to be, and not actually go in and follow His plan to victory. God will lead us to that victory by His power. We need to trust Him. And it is a time for trust. It is a time for faith that we are living in today. If you're here this morning and you're not a child of God, we want to encourage you this morning to come to Jesus Christ in obedience to His will and to His gospel. Repent of your sins and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And enlist in the Lord's cause and be on His side. Be one of His soldiers that is fighting in this battle together alongside of other believers. And the Lord will give us the victory. And so if you are here today and subject to the invitation of Jesus, we invite you to come as we stand together and sing.
Why do you wait?